How many internet mailing list subscribers does it take to change a light bulb? 1,343. 1 to change the light bulb and to post to the mail list that the light bulb has been changed. 14 to share similar experiences of changing light bulbs and how the light bulb could have been changed differently. 7 to caution about the dangers of changing light bulbs. 27 to point out spelling and grammar errors in posts about changing light bulbs. 53 to flame the spell checkers. 62 to argue over whether it's light bulb or light space bulb. Another 62 to condemn the first 62. 156 to write to the email list administrator. 109 to post to the list to suggest that this list is not for light bulbs and to please take this light bulb discussion elsewhere. 111 to defend the variation on that joke have been going around for quite some time now, but I was reminded of it last week when it was forwarded from the Kurzweil 1000 list to Access UK. The moral of the story is, at the end of the day, it comes down to this. Common sense. When you post a message to a list, is it really necessary? That is probably the overriding question that you need to ask yourself. And would posting that message to the original sender, or not sending anything at all, be perfectly adequate? Having said that, this week I did find a very useful document which is actually intended for Usenet news groups, but I think a lot of the information in it can apply to mailing lists. So I'd recommend that you take a look at this. http://www.newsreaders.com/guide/netiquette.html. And netiquette is spelled NETIQUETTE. Now, as time allows, what I hope to do is to collect all the URLs together that I've given out during these programs and to put them all on a web page for you. And I will work on that as soon as possible. And if you think that would be useful, then by all means do let me know, and your feedback will speed that process along. Now, this week I'm going to look at quoting and emoticons. And we will get onto that a little bit later. But first of all, I want to cover some of the things that have come through in the email in the last week that people have asked me to look at. Now, one or two of you appreciated the plain text HTML episode of this Netiquette guide. And something which arose from that was this. I demonstrated using Outlook 2000 and Outlook Express how you would initiate a message in plain text or HTML. However, many mail clients, when you reply to a message, will reply in the original format. So today I'm going to show you another important option that you need to change in the configuration settings of your client.
Window Inbox Outlook Express working online editor.
Okay, I'm now in the inbox of Outlook Express, as you can hear. And really, I think by showing you what I'm talking about will probably be the clearest way to do this. So, again, we're going to use Alt-T to get to the Tools menu.
Tools menu, no selection.
And I'm going to press O for Options.
Options, General Property Sheet, Default Messaging Programs.
Okay, press the Control key there to mute that. Now I'm going to use Control Tab 3 times to move forward through the property sheet.
3. Send Property Sheet. Sending Save Copy of Send.
Okay, we're in the Sending Property Sheet, and this was the one we visited previously in order to determine the format of the email that we send out to our friends and mailing lists. Now, let's just tab through here.
Send messages immediately, check checkbox. Automatically put people I reply to in my address. Automatically complete email addresses when composed. Include message in reply, check check. Reply to messages using the format in which they were sent, check checkbox.
Okay, now, for today's episode, these last two checkboxes there are of particular interest. I'm just going to shift tab back so you can just hear that that last one again.
Include message in reply, check checkbox.
Include message in reply. Now, it is very important that if you do have that checkbox checked, that you do at least some limited cropping and editing of the message that you are quoting, if that is appropriate and necessary. Quite often on mailing lists, threads seem to get very, very long, and if everybody is quoting each other's messages, in a very short space of time, the size of the email grows exponentially. So it may be an idea even to have that checkbox unchecked, although then you would need to be clear in your own message as to what you were referring to. It's important to strike a balance, and we'll look at quoting a little bit later. Now, the checkbox we're interested in just for the moment, following the feedback.
Reply to messages using the format in which they were sent, checkbox.
Reply to messages using the format in which they were sent. And you would probably, if you were using plain text and you always wanted to use plain text, and we showed you how to do that a couple of weeks ago, for most cases you would want that
unchecked checkbox
unchecked. Okay, so I'm going to press enter to come out of there and okay that. So just to repeat those steps again, Alt-T to get to the Tools menu.
Tools menus.
O to get to Options.
Options, General.
Three Control Tabs to get to the Sending Property Sheet.
Send Property Sheet Sending.
And then you just tap through.
Automatic. Includes
here.
Reply to messages using the format in which they were sent on checkbox.
There you go. It's about fourth option down on that property sheet. Reply to messages using the format in which they were sent, and of course the other setting that
mail sending format HTML unselected radio button.
Okay, message sending format
plain text selected radio button,
and that was the one we looked at a couple of weeks ago. Okay, so that's Outlook Express, and that tends to be probably one of the more popular clients out there, and I suspect that most email programs will have the ability to configure that. You may need to dig around in your options or settings to find it. Now, I did promise you that today we would look at quoting. When you press Control R in the Outlook Mail clients, or an equivalent keystroke to reply to a message in your email program, we have mentioned this a couple of times, but it's worth reiterating. It is important that you write in the message header, and in the Outlook clients you can shift tab back through the fields, the subject field, the copy to fields, and the to field, and specify who you're sending that message to if you want to send it somewhere else other than the mailing list, for example. When you reply to a message, quite obviously you're placed in an edit area, and more often than not, the original email message is in there. And most email clients use the greater than symbol, which is shift and full stop, to indicate quoted lines. So you'll find a greater than symbol at the start of each line that you are quoting. And to save bandwidth and to make the whole email list experience a little bit smoother, it's a good idea to only quote the relevant lines, and obviously some sort of indication of who wrote those lines, because if you're on a thread that a lot of people have contributed to, it may be worth identifying the person whom you're attributing that quote to. Now, in the mainstream world, and certainly this used to be the case more in the past than it is now, and I think this is largely due to where the email program places the cursor when you get into that reply edit area. In the past, one would quote first and reply below the quote, and quite often people would intersperse the original email with comments. This is a good way of reacting to individual points. However, on blindness lists specifically, so that would be false, Steve, out, where the reply now tends to appear at the top, I think this is because it is easier for people using screen reading software to just open the message and straight away read the next part of the conversation. And in a lot of cases, this negates the need for quoting altogether. You could, in fact, elect to not include the original message in your replies, and you can specify that in the options of your email client. And providing you were clear in making your points, it may not even be necessary for you to quote. the biggest problem which emerges with excessive quoting is if I reply to a message on a list and I include a previous message in my reply, and then you reply to my message and you include not only my message but the original message to which I was replying to, your post will consist of three messages, and these messages will be arranged in reverse chronological order, with your message appearing at the top and then my message and then the message to which I was replying to. So it does get very messy, and different people have different ways of managing this situation. A good rule of thumb is to only quote the relevant parts of the previous message. Last week we talked about message headers. In addition to message headers, and probably more widely known, are message footers or signatures. A lot of mailing lists now add extraneous advertising to the bottom of your email, and it isn't necessary to quote this again, because quite obviously when you reply to the list, they'll add yet more advertising, so it is important to develop those editing skills. A lot of people like to use the signature facility of their email client to sign their name and perhaps promote a website that they're involved with. It's fairly good in etiquette to try and keep these reasonably short, about four lines, I think, sort of at the most, tends to be reasonable, and also to separate this from your message body with two minus signs or two dashes. When quoting somebody else's message in a reply, it isn't necessary to quote their signature. Another area that I just wanted to briefly touch on, a little bit of fun, are emoticons. It's a fancy word, which doesn't really mean a great deal. It's the system of using letters and numbers and punctuation to convey emotions in a graphical way. The most common emoticon is probably the colon dash right bracket, and visually rotated through 90 degrees, this appears like a smiling face, with the colon becoming the eyes and the dash sign becoming the nose and the right bracket becoming the smiling mouth. Similarly, you could use a left bracket to indicate a frown, although there again, on the blindness lists, a slightly different trend has emerged where people tend to use the less than symbol, followed by a word like grin, followed by the greater than symbol. This obviously works more smoothly with speech. You would have to add all those emoticons to your screen reader's exceptions dictionary if you wanted them read accurately. But they're certainly the most common two, colon dash right bracket being a smiley face and colon dash left bracket being a frowning face. There are, of course, many more emoticons that you can use, but they seem to be the two most popular ones. In addition, an internet form of shorthand has sprung up over the years. Three-letter or four-letter abbreviations to represent commonly used words. Sometimes these are particularly useful. IMHO, or IMHO, in my humble opinion. BTW, by the way. TIA, or thanks in advance. RTFM, read the manual. And of course, many, many more. Well, that's it. That's all I've time for this week. If you've got any comments, feedback, suggestions, things that you would like me to cover in future weeks, then by all means, do feel free to drop me a line. The email address is dave@acbradio.org. That's dave@acbradio.org. And just before I go, that URL that I gave you a little bit earlier on, if you didn't catch it, it is http://www.newsreaders.com/guide/netiquette.html. As I say, that was originally written for Usenet newsgroups, but I think a lot of that information is applicable on the mailing lists. For Main Menu, I'm Dave Williams.